Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up. It's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laughter's waiting. Don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's just another Monday here in New York City. We're coming to you live from the Gas Digital Studios. It's me, your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico, and welcome to the Morning Zoo. I'm just pleased as punch because I have two wonderful guests today across the table from me, from the Nerd of Mouth podcast. A great guy and a great friend, Mike Lawrence. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was telling you we had a technical interruption, but I did want to say, you just look fucking so happy, man. I'm so glad.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You got a beautiful kid, and just the thanks. Happiness in your face and the person you've become. I'm really proud and happy for you, man.
Thanks. You know, we worked in May, and I thought you might die then, and you haven't, and I'm surprised and impressed.
I'm still kicking, baby. I'm doing a little better.
That's good.
I'm feeling better.
Hey, the fact that you can kick now.
Yeah. I was having some physical issues. I threw my back out real bad.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Well, we were writing in the Kia Forum.
Yeah.
It was a long walk.
Yeah, it was like a mile between things. And by the last day, I had to be wheeled around.
Really?
It was fucking killing me, dude. Next to him, from Everybody Is Awful, the legend Jim Florentine. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
It's fucking great to see you. Thank you for being here. Let's knock plugs right out of the way. Mike, what do you want people to check out?
Yeah, the Nerd of Mouth podcast is a lot of fun, and I was gonna say, Jim, I'm not a metal fan, but I loved your show. As a nerd, I thought it was one of the best shows about being a nerd, that metal show.
I appreciate that. A lot of people we would watch that show wasn't even really into the music, but it was just
it was your fandom.
Yeah.
Your obsessiveness and that you love something so much was cool to see.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks. You had a nice little run with that show.
That was fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Jim, what do you want people to check out, buddy?
Everybody Is Awful podcast out every Monday. I got a new comedy special coming out September 18th called Jersey Trash. And also on September 18th, a new Terrorizing Telemarketers Volume 8.
Oh, awesome. Out. That's so cool. Check that out, guys. We've played, we recently watched The Upper Decker on here.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
From Meet the Creeps. thank you guys for watching. You can find me on Instagram at Zach Is Not Funny. punchup.live/ZachAmico. For all my dates, I will be at the Gathering of the Juggalos next week, hosting the main stage and second stage and doing Juggalo Championship Wrestling commentary. And, Shannon, isn't my special coming out soon?
Special is coming out soon in just a couple weeks.
In just a couple weeks, my first ever half an hour special will be out. I did it in Austin at the Creek in the Cave, and I'm very, very happy with it. I can't wait for you guys to see it. And if you like the show, head on over to GasDigital.com today. Use my promo code ZOO. You save a little bit of money. You get your episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored. You get access to the live chat and the archive. Thousands of episodes of all your favorite gas shows from the last decade. And most importantly, our Friday bonus show. If you want all three, you got to subscribe. But regardless, thank you for watching the show. So Jim and I were having a conversation in the lobby, and I wanted to try and save it for this. And okay. Mike, I would love for you to chime in as well. We were talking about great movies that we've seen in the theater and like how it affected us. And you, Jim saw Halloween the week it came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
What year did that come out?
1978?
Yeah, I think 78.
78, so I was 14.
Oh, that's perfect.
And
that's the best age to see that movie.
Yeah, and my older brothers, you know, because you couldn't get an R-rated movie, they took me. Without my mom made sure, you're not going to see Halloween. Like, no, we were going to see something else. Scared the fuck out of me. Just to this day, that music was unbelievable. But
he did it himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just telling him he's got a new album, a metal album out.
Oh, really John Carpenter?
Yeah.
You ever listen to the Christopher Lee metal album?
No, I don't know that one.
They had a heavy metal album, and it's just like Christopher Lee like talking over like hard rock music and through the forest of the fire.
It's pretty sick, dude.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And were people just losing their minds in the theater?
Yeah. Yeah, it was insane.
Oh, I would love it.
I'd never seen anything like that before. I mean, The Exorcist you had before that, but that was a different kind of horror. But this was just unbelievable.
This is more relatable. You know, it felt like it could actually happen. And then it's funny because always with horror movies, they just the sequels are never as scary because you can't be scared by the same thing again as much. Or they just make the character, before there was a word, they make him into like a meme, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Freddy Krueger just becomes a Catskills comedian by like the third one. Yeah. And the original horror idea of like a serial killer in your dreams goes away.
Okay, I will say 3 is my favorite.
Okay.
Dream Warriors.
The Dokken song.
Yeah, yeah. That is definitely my favorite one. I think that's when they toy, like that's when he starts to get one-linery.
Yeah, okay.
2 is, I don't know if you've ever seen Nightmare on Elm Street 2. It is the gayest movie
ever
made.
We talked about this on Legion. Yeah.
It is.
You got the body, I got the brains. Big J just kept saying that. Yeah.
Porn.
Yeah.
That every time guys are about to fuck, Freddy Krueger interrupts it. It's the only one with a final guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's very gay.
Why do you think they went in that direction for 2?
I think the writer and the producer were gay.
Well, it's funny. Like, so Big J was talking about this, that they did a documentary about it.
Yeah, yeah. Scream Queen.
Yeah, and the lead guy was like, why did you make it that way? And the director goes, because you were very gay.
Yeah.
I just built the movie around you.
Yeah, it's one of those, I always, whenever you watch a movie about a gay guy, and then he has a boyfriend, and then you go, how come he's not talking in the documentary? Oh, where's the boyfriend?
Yeah.
And then
we met in 1985.
And then towards the end, it's like, and then he got sick, and you're like, shit.
That happened in the Pee Wee documentary.
Yep.
You're like, Pee Wee had a boyfriend in 1984 in California.
Oh, shit. And it's one of those, it's him, like, basically. Coming back, like owning it and going to conventions and shit.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it is. He goes to.
So 1 was amazing, 2 was horrible.
He just goes to a gay bar in 2. He straight up goes to a leather daddy bar and sees his gym coach, who then whips him with a towel naked.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like the whole idea of like horror was like the attack on sins, right?
Yes.
So if like 2 people have sex, they should die in a horror movie, right?
Mm-hmm. It's essentially like...
So the people that believe that would definitely also want gay people to die.
Yeah.
And would probably prioritize them dying over straight people dying. Yeah.
It's the same as... it's kind of like the modern version of like what storytelling was. Like, you know, we have these stories where like this happens. If you do this, something bad will happen. Yes, it's a morality show. So 2, they didn't want to pay Robert Englund for 2.
Okay.
Because they went... we can put anybody in the mask. So there are scenes where it's just a stuntman wearing the Freddy thing, and he moves like a monster. He completely sucks. Yeah. And then they had to go back and get Robert Englund.
Well, he probably wanted more money because the first one was like...
Yeah, he wanted a lot more money.
The first one built New Line Cinema, right? It was a massive hit.
And
so 2, did it bomb at the box office too?
It did okay.
Okay.
And then 3, they completely got it right.
Right. Like,
3 is, I believe 3 might be the same guy who did The Mask and something
else. Chuck Russell.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's almost like a band that puts out a great first album because they've been working on it forever, and the second one sucks, but then they come back.
Well, I think that's a trend, because Exorcist 3 is excellent, and 2 is an abomination.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true of comedy, too, right? Where it's like, at least it used to be.
The sophomore, sophomore
but the first
effort.
Special is the thing you work, road tested, and then... The new one is just, now you even have expectations of what you should be and what your act should be, so it's not as, like, rappers always had that problem of, well, then they just rap about the money they got from the first album.
Yeah, the sophomore effort is a tough one.
Yeah.
Jim, you also said you saw Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Did you bring a check?
Yep. I remember reading the New York Post, and I saw, like, in the movie section, the goriest fright film of all time, in quotes. I go, I got to go see this. And it was playing at some little theater in the city. And I took my girlfriend at the time. We were only dating a few months. Within probably 12 minutes, she's like, I'm leaving. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch the movie. She's like, are you serious? And then when the scene where the ear was in the soup and he ate the ear,
yeah,
she walked out. And I go, look, I'm staying. And she fucking took the train back to Jersey. She was furious at me for like a week. I said, there's no fucking way I'm leaving this movie. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so, you really, like, you kind of get why he became such a famous director, because his attention to detail is bonkers. That movie takes place on the day he was born, Peter Jackson. So it's everything is accurate. And then he retconned himself into King Kong.
Right.
Because the opening is Skull Island, and it's the Sumatran rat monkey. And then in his version of King Kong, when they're in the bottom of the ship, one of the boxes is the Sumatran rat monkey from Dead Alive.
And you know what annoyed me is I'm a Tarantino fan, but he's totally stole From Dusk Till Dawn Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Like the second half of that movie is basically Dead Alive, just ripping limbs off and blood squirting everywhere.
I like to think of Tarantino as the hip-hop of film, where he samples everything he likes.
Yeah, if you watch the N-word too much.
Yeah, that's it. But if you watch, like, the dance scene in Pulp Fiction is
the dance scene from 8 and a half. Yeah, he makes Art You Feel Weird quoting in front of your friends.
Yeah, depends on the friend.
Yeah.
There's a Fellini movie called 8 and a half, and it's shot for shot the dance from Pulp
Fiction. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And he does that all the time. Oh, the Don't Be a Square is from another movie. So I think that's it. And then Murder Set Pieces, he said.
You know, well, I didn't think we'd get this artsy fartsy, but it's like, was it Roy Lichtenstein? You know, he was the artist who would take comic book panels.
Oh, yeah.
And it was basically, he would take panels from real comic books that these guys got like minimum wage to draw, and then he would just make them a little artsier, like you know, Andy Warhol did with the soup cans, and he would sell them for millions, and the artist got nothing. And I feel like Tarantino is that in some ways.
Yeah.
Like, I think he tries a little bit more to homage and put people in, and, you know, he has a theater that shows some of these movies, so that's a little better, but it is funny how people think that, like, it's not plagiarism.
Yeah.
And now we're at the worst part of it with AI, which just comes from years of homaging to now where you're just like, oh, who cares? It's all the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Very much so.
Good point there, yeah.
You said you saw Murder Set Pieces in theater?
Murder Set Pieces, another theater in the city. And I went with my buddy Don Jameson, who's a big horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a scene where the guy, I can't remember correctly, but he kills like his whole family, and he goes into the bedroom, and there's a baby in the crib, and he's just sitting up in the crib, and he's going to kill the baby too. And that's when he walked out. He goes, I can't take this anymore. He never walked out of a movie ever. But there was one girl that was there. There was like six people in the theater, and she stayed the whole time. And me and Don go, we got to meet this girl that would sit through this fucking movie. Yeah. And she was actually a film student. So she's like, oh, yeah, I was just, you know, watching. I loved it and stuff like that. Like, you could be the coolest girl ever to sit through this fucking thing. That was the most goriest, uncalled for film of all time, and I loved it. And I think this metal guy, I think a guy from this band Overkill did the score for it, if I'm not mistaken.
That's awesome.
But
that's...
did you see that, Mike?
No.
Murder Set Pieces?
I've never heard of it.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, it's
but just, I'm gonna I'll
is
rewatch
it. Like
it
murder, now. Comma, set, comma, pieces,
period.
Or murder.
Murder, oh. Period, set.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
And then the last one, Happiness. Did you see that?
I have a happiness story.
Please.
Yeah.
I rented it in college, freshman year, and showed it. We had movie nights in like the you know, whatever the common area is, and there was 20 of us, and I just love the Daniel Klaus box art, and everybody walked except one other guy and me. When the sandwich scene, you know.
Yeah.
When he was it Dylan Baker, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's so good in that movie. That's one of those where it's like he's too good to get nominated,
right?
Because they're afraid. Like, but what if he does have a past? Like,
yeah.
You, I mean, it is like the most like chilling portrayal of a pedophile because it's not like tortured and all that. It's casual,
yeah,
which is so much scarier. And you know, yeah, he like fucking drugs a sandwich that he gives his son's friend. And everybody left. They're like, "Nah, we can't do this." And I mean, it's one of my favorite movies.
I that was my depression movie years ago. I watched it every day for a week.
Yeah,
that was what I would sink into. But it's still, it is so good.
I saw it in the theater, and when that line, when his son finds out that he molested his friend, he's like, "Dad, would you fuck me?" And he goes, "Nah, I'd probably just jerk you off." I started laughing at that line in the theater. And so what? Some guy stood up. "What are you laughing at?" He yelled at me from like seven rows away. "What are you laughing at?"
It's a comedy. I mean, it's meant to be a funny line. It's dark as fuck. But,
right.
Dude, it's
like Magnolia for sad people.
Yes.
Like, because it has that like Altman-esque, like the vignettes kind of. And any of those movies I thought was like the best movie whenever I saw it. If, like Amoros Perros is like that, where you take like a 3 hour and you have all the different characters and they somehow intertwine. I'm like, do they make movies like that anymore?
I can't think of anything.
Not really.
Recently.
I haven't seen anything. Yeah.
It's so hard to get a movie greenlit anymore if Iron Man's not in it.
Yeah.
It was a Dana Gould quote.
I guess like the closest thing was like they started doing it with like romantic comedies like Love Actually and those Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
They're like vignettes, but
it's not
the same.
Dude, I've shown so many people happiness, and they just can't believe, you can't believe it's happening.
No, I know.
And then the dog, I came.
it's amazing because his first movie is Fear, Anxiety, and Depression, which he stars in, and it's just like, if you could imagine, a creepier Woody Allen. Then Welcome to the Dollhouse was like a crowd pleaser.
Yep.
I think in that guy's mind, he's like, people like this too much. I got to repel them. Because then storytelling is like fucking dark.
That was the one I was talking about, storytelling. That's what Selma Blair's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the teacher, yeah.
There's a I can't remember the name of it, and I don't know why it genuinely upset me. It was a story of a young girl who gets pregnant, but they have, I think, 8 different actresses play her throughout the movie. So she keeps changing.
I've heard of this, yeah.
At like one point, she's like a giant black chick. At one point, she's like an older lady. And for some reason, it made me nauseous. It was so sad and real.
Really?
Yeah, and it was just like her trying to figure out if she's going to keep it. Obviously, you know. It was non-consensual. It's a fucking brutal movie. Shannon, is there any way you could look up Girl Pregnant played by multiple actresses?
What about Gummo?
Gummo. We watched that. I went to film school, and they showed it in one of my classes.
Hell yeah.
And there was a kid next to me who fucking just stood up. And he's like, "Why are we watching this? This is bad." And we're like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
He's like, "What? I mean, wouldn't you rather watch Fight Club?" And I was like, "No.
No.
You fucking nerd. This is the fucking coolest thing ever."
Zach, is it Palindromes?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That was
also Salons.
Yeah, that was also Todd. That movie.
It made me fucking sick.
I didn't see that one. I'm gonna check that one out.
I don't know what
it
was.
He knew black people. I heard that there was one in the movie.
Well, remember the one in, what was the one you said that was after?
With Selma Blair.
Storytelling?
Yeah, because remember she was saying the N-word, and it was a big controversy at the time.
Oh, with the teacher. Yeah, he was like a black professor.
Yeah, because she was she was a big star.
Yeah.
To do that, yeah.
Yeah, you got to pull it sometimes. I mean, I guess it depends. Sometimes it does seem excessive, like when sometimes Tarantino's a little too in love with it.
I'll say this. In Django, when he puts himself in the movie, at the end of the movie, and he's like an Australian slave trader, it's like it's too late in the movie, and he's saying it didn't work for me. Like, one, he's not a good actor.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah, and then it's like, at that point, you're like, can we just fucking end this movie already? It is a good movie, but like at that, you're like, I don't need new characters introduced 2:45 in.
So I interpreted that scene differently than you.
Okay.
So there's an entire genre called Ozploitation.
Yeah.
And people used to go to Australia to make cheapo movies because they would get government assistance.
Yeah.
I think the meta thing that they were doing was he got sold into another movie, which was going to be Django in Australia, but then he kills them and continues his movie. in a way. I think that was supposed to be...
Yeah, that's not worth the time added to the film.
In my head, it was supposed to be, we're crossing genres now,
yeah.
And he got sold into a different movie, and then he escapes and goes back and finishes his movie.
I hate how long movies are now. Like, it's Scorsese, like, if Scorsese, if you want to say you're the best filmmaker, fucking talk to your editor.
Yeah.
You've had the same one for 45 years.
Well, like, that's where Tarantino got fucked, is when his editor died.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he needs to edit. I don't need to see fucking, what was it, Kill Bill? What's his face making a sandwich for like 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but because it used to be all the bloopers, they would say hi to her. And that was like a Tarantino thing. And when she died is when all his movies got uncomfortably long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's a Patton bit where he talks about how great cinema is a male director and a female editor.
Yeah.
And it's a male director going, look how much fucking film I shot. I shot film everywhere. And then a girl being like, all right, now we're going to trim it back. We'll make this make sense. We got to make this palatable. Because, the fucking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I wanted to fucking hang myself.
Yeah. Even Jackie Brown.
And that's
Brown.
Just because Cate Berlant was in it.
Even Jackie Brown. Like, that was his follow-up to Pulp Fiction. I remember it came out like Christmas Day, and I went to the theater to see it. I was so excited. I'm like, this is fucking boring.
Yeah, it's not. It never stuck with me.
That movie should have been cut at least an hour out of that movie.
I have no issue with Cate Berlant.
No, I know.
But I find it's the most egregious example. Go back to Peter Jackson's King Kong. You took a movie that was an hour and a half, a perfect, like King Kong 1933 is a perfect movie, like where it doesn't need anything else, and he just added so much fluff, like King Kong ice skates. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's so bad. And then it's like, and then when he's like climbing at the end, like each individual finger gets shot off by the, I don't need to see all that. Like that's the art form is editing. It's, you know, with comedy too. It's like fucking, I do think like, I still want to see if people can do like a tight five.
Yeah.
You know? It's I think there's way more to comedy than that, but it's like I still think there's an art to efficiency.
Yeah, of course. And then with the King Kong thing. Oh, fuck, what was I gonna say? I lost my train of thought. I apologize.
Yeah. But also we worked on the Kevin Hart roast together, and because it went longer, we got paid more.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So those could be as long as they want.
Thanks, Dwayne.
How does
Shout
that
out
work?
Dwayne.
It's a WGA longer. Thing. So you're contracted for like a certain amount of the it's a live show, so it should be a certain amount of time. But then if it goes over, that's a different contract.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, The Rock was going long, and it's so funny when you're in those rooms while the show's on, everyone's like, keep going.
Like all night, dude. Tell me your life story, dude.
Yeah.
Lie about your dad some more.
It doesn't matter if a clock's there.
Shane did tell me after the roast that three different times he wanted to do to The Rock, what do you think of the roast? And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And every time he went to do it, Kevin Hart started talking again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to get Shane to do it, and it doesn't matter to The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
The roast.
Yeah. Right.
All right. We got a bunch of dumb shit we can look at real quick.
Wait, one more.
Oh, yeah, please.
The Vincent Gallo, Buffalo 66.
Oh, yeah.
In my top five of all time. The most miserable movie of all. I fucking love it. And did you ever see that interview? He went on Howard Stern and just trashed Christina Ricci, saying that she was fat and I had to feed her pizza and all that. It was hilarious.
Oh, he's a fucking jerk off.
Yeah.
The whole thing with him and Ebert, the Brown Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Where he, like Roger Ebert was like, he went after Ebert's cancer.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, I have had severe colonoscopies and they were still more fun than the Brown Bunny.
I know.
It's like, you're not winning a fight with fucking Roger Ebert, like a battle of the wits. You're Vincent Gallo and you make those movies. Like, come on.
That was one that should have been edited.
Yeah.
He was driving in a van for like 45 minutes straight with nothing going on.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So there's a movie that. When at Troma, we kind of use it as a litmus test for if somebody's out of their mind like us. And I've shown it to so many people, and it is universally hated. And I think it's the funniest movie I've ever seen. It's called Fatty Drives the Bus. And
it's a trauma film?
Yes.
Okay.
Trauma acquired it.
Okay. That's what made Zach want to get into the film.
Yes.
Right.
And it's an improv troupe in Chicago made it. And it is, Satan is supposed to have a bus crash, but Jesus is in town, so they cancel it. So Satan turns himself into the tour guide so that he can steal the souls of everyone on the bus and then crash it. But Jesus is chasing them on foot. Every single person in the movie is the most unlikable. You want them to.
You already said Chicago improv,
dude. every scene is made. But the thing about the movie is it fucks with time.
Yeah.
So it purposefully lingers on stuff or reshows shots, and it tortures you. And the first time you watch it, you're like, "What the fuck? No!" And then a few days later, you're like, "Well, that's really funny." And the way, like, they have a two brothers in it that are coming to Chicago from the country. And it's a long shot. So they're tiny, tiny, tiny in the background having a conversation. And the one brother just verbatim tells the entire plot of the movie, scene for scene, to the other guy. And goes, "What if?" And then tells a 5-minute, the whole movie to the end. And the other guy goes, "No, that's stupid." And then you sit and watch it, and it's enraging.
Wow.
It's so fucking funny. All right. We got a bunch of other dumb shit.
Check that out.
We have a great thing we like to do here on the show. I like to call, sometimes the bull wins. I like when animals turn on people that are abusing them.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a fun one. Portuguese man versus bull. Ba-da-da.
Sorry, I don't know what's happening today. One moment.
No problem, Shannon. Don't worry about it.
1 second.
Technology versus producer.
Sorry.
I apologize for the delay. Shannon, should I move on to something else?
Sorry. Yeah, just give us like 10 seconds.
No problem.
Well, it's not the one where the guy went flipping in the air. That was from like a month ago.
Yeah. No, this is a new one.
Yeah, okay.
The two things I show the most on the show are sometimes the bull wins and Indian people getting hit by trains. Which is an entire genre.
I like that the good karma of the first one is destroyed by the second one.
Why Indian people?
It's a thing going around on the internet. It's my entire timeline. Because they don't have safety restrictions. Like the way we would have like a gate and a sign and like a don't go in here. It's just open. And it's a trend in India to get a selfie either hanging off the train or with the train coming behind you.
Okay. So and it's Darwinian.
They're very bad at judging distance. So it'll be a guy taking a selfie, just brained by the side of the train.
They show the whole thing.
Or a guy hanging off the train.
I feel better about enjoying that.
And he's taking a selfie,
right,
not knowing there's poles coming.
Yeah.
And just, wabah.
Yeah. Any selfie-based death, totally fine.
Yeah.
100%.
And if you're a grown man taking a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You deserve to die.
You deserve to get hit by a train at 120 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. And they get them.
Yeah,
we call it Indians versus trains. I think trains are like 140 and 0.
Really?
Oh yeah, trains
even,
are doing
not even a tie.
I would bet on trains. Yeah, put all your money on trains, dude. You wouldn't believe how good trains. What a good season trains are having. Shannon, any luck?
30 more seconds.
Don't worry about it.
It was even like the show Man versus Food. I'm like, food still wins every time. Even if he eats the thing, the next 4 hours, food's winning.
My friend, have you ever seen, what's my goddamn friend's name? He's in one of he chugs lemonade every year at the 4th of July.
Okay.
Badlands, excuse me.
Okay.
He does a lot of videos where he like chugs gallons of stuff.
Yeah.
He auditioned when they got rid of the first Man versus Food guy.
Yeah.
And he has, like, world records, like, for chugging. He has, I think, matzo balls. Like, he came here, he had to walk through the door sideways.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
And he auditioned for that, and the producers were like, "We love you. You're very charismatic, but we need people to think you might lose."
That's funny.
He's a ringer.
Because he would just annihilate it.
Yeah.
And the episode would be like, if we have you as the host, this show's going to be 5 minutes long.
Well, it's also the contrast thing that, like, if you have the big piece of food with the big guy, it doesn't seem as, like, impressive.
Do you remember the meme of the big black guy holding the giant cheeseburger? That's him.
Okay.
Ready when you are. Sorry, Zach.
Okay, I'll call it in a second. He brought it. So he has a big YouTube following, a couple million. And he every time a new soda comes out, they'll pay him to, like, chug, like, the boot of it.
Right.
But because it's YouTube, he had to take down any videos where it was alcohol because they consider that binge drinking and they'll demonetize. Yep, that's him.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
They'll demonetize your channel.
Yeah, see, that looks like a regular cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
If he's guzzling a beer, they'll demonetize the channel.
Yeah. So he showed us here, he could unlock them from the computer. And he showed us him doing 4 40s in 10 minutes, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he did the big Jaeger, like the handle in one chug. And we're like, how bad was that? He's like, I took a nap.
A whole jug of Jägermeister.
Yeah.
Wow.
When we were here, he did an Irish truck bomb.
Yeah, that's a Jaeger and like Red Bull or
Well, that's a Jaeger bomb.
Don't you love that? It's like we had him here and we could have had an intervention and tried to save his life.
Of course not.
But we're going to use this stupid talent for our own views.
Well, so an Irish car bomb is if you drop.
That's right. You dropped a shot in the beer.
In the beer.
Yeah.
He did it with a pitcher and a rocks glass.
Yeah.
It was He did it so fucking fast.
How horribly did you eat after by just feeling thin by comparison?
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
If you taste his blood, it's sweet.
Yeah. Like I went to the Long Island Retro Video Gaming Convention this week, and I was a fucking 9. I was so hot. I went with a friend. I wanted to bring my wife. I'm like, anytime you regret having this in you, go here.
I get that at indie wrestling shows.
Yeah, you're damn right you do.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right.
The worst thing.
You know, I have deodorant on.
Yeah.
They've had to start asking wrestling fans to wear deodorant.
Yeah.
Because it's so stinky when you get in.
They had to do that at Magic the Gathering.
Did you see the guy who he got kicked out? He's not allowed anymore. All he would do is go to Magic the Gathering tournaments and take pictures with dudes' butt cracks.
Yeah.
Because they had the folding chair and all their pants would fall. And he's banned for life from all Magic. They had another. It was an indie wrestling show. It was the grossest thing. It was two chairs next to each other. And they both had shit. Skid marks because the person's pants were so falling off and they didn't
the chair?
Yeah, the chairs had skid marks on them.
That's still real to him.
Yeah. I saw an XPW show in Jersey. Yep, there he is.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Yeah, I don't like anyone in this photo. I don't like him either.
Is a pretty funny idea. Yeah.
And what's amazing is if you took it from the other side,
I went to an XPW show and the two twins came in who had to be 6'8 each. And I could smell when they walked in. And it was a very specific BO. Do you know the kind of BO that smells like Blimpy?
Like a sub.
Yeah. But like oil and vinegar.
Yeah.
They made the whole venue. Because I used to live in Jersey. I lived around the corner from Blimpy. And I was like, what the fuck smells like Blimpy? And it was just these two big retards.
Well, that was, they had the those two big guys on the motorcycles, the McGuire twins.
Yeah.
They tried pro wrestling. And it was just, they just stunk. Like, back in the 50s and 60s, if you were just really, really fat, they would try you out. And,
Have you seen Big Tater?
No.
Oh, there's a guy doing a Vader gimmick, but he's Tater. And he dresses like a potato, and his helmet is a microwave. Oh. He might be my current favorite gimmick.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft? Like your coffee's warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? That's why our great friends created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee, it's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients like Tongkat Ali, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and yeah, in the bedroom too. And it's not just about testosterone. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in, all while supporting your natural T levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. Body Brain Coffee has Tongkat Ali, lion's mane, ashwagandha, L-theanine, and premium freeze-dried Colombian coffee. It's got a bold, rich taste with no fillers. Save 15% today with the code ZOO15, Z-O-O-1-5, at bodybraincoffee.com. That's bodybraincoffee.com. Power your day. Fuel your drive. Let's get back into the show. All right, Shannon, do we have the bowl?
Whoop!
And then he just stands there like a killer. What did you think was going to happen?
That was very much that Simpsons, the curly straight.
Yeah.
But Homer keeps pulling the pigtail and it bites
Shannon,
him.
Let's watch it again. What did he
think? Like, he's sticking his dick in him, right?
He's fucking with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fence is so small.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, and he just stands there. Yeah. Stared him down. Shannon, do we have any of that went through him, right? That wasn't just in his shirt.
Yes, it did puncture his stomach, but it says the guy's in stable condition.
Oh man. What?
And that's so's the bull.
Yeah.
Well, like you see like Knoxville doing that in the Jackass movies. Like,
yeah, but they have safety people there, and it's a production.
Knoxville's going and fucking flipping in the air.
Well, that's why you can't fucking do stunts anymore, that last bull hit.
That last bull hit was it, right? Because I saw the new Jackass.
Yeah, yeah, he can't really, he's, I believe he has reached his concussion limit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
I think if you get hit by one more bull, you will die.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't really, because he did that and he fucking tore his urethra.
Yeah.
When he did the motorcycle stunt and the motorcycle landed on his dick.
Right.
And he had a catheter for like years.
I didn't see the last one. Well, because
it seemed like a clip show.
Well, that was it, that it was a clip show. But then the new stunts, like, they are in their 50s. And it's like, that's just like kind of sad. You know, like, I don't need to see members of the AARP, you know, like shocking themselves.
I would have rather they focused on the new people and kind of had them as, like, coaches.
Yeah.
I think it had... What I really think they should do, if they're going to stop doing Jackass, and I've heard them mention this, they should just make other movies with them.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine, like, a murder mystery. Or,
yeah, but,
like,
only one of them can act.
I think you could work around it. Or, like, and it's a mad, mad, mad world, a rat race type, like... Right. You know, I think you could do that.
Yeah, but if you see those guys in cars and the cars don't crash into each other, you're going to be disappointed.
I think you could work stunts
into
like,
it. It's like Gallagher, like, when he's just doing jokes.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I'm like, I would just say to my dad, like, when the fuck's the mallet coming out?
You know? Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And he would do them on roller skates, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I was more of a Gallagher 2 guy.
Yeah.
That's insane that was...
Gallagher 2 is just Gallagher, but way gayer.
I really want to, because The Gathering is in Missouri, and it's about 20 minutes from Branson.
Oh, my God.
And I'm really thinking about going to see Yakov Smirnoff's dinner show.
Yeah?
I hear he's not that bad. Like, he's been doing guest spots.
I did a show with him in Nashville. He was great.
Yeah. Good for him. He married some, like, 25-year-old. He's got a kid.
Yeah. She was like, he was a happy guy.
He's like, what a cunt.
Yeah.
Tree.
He was so sick of me. I annoyed the living shit out of him the whole night. Oh, yeah. I kept doing it. I kept doing the bit. And at one point, I had to go to the bathroom, and he came out. And I went, oh, in Soviet Russia, shit takes you. And he looked at me. He hated me so much. But I was just, I don't know. I had a bug up my ass. I was like, I'm going to annoy the living shit out of Yakov Smirnoff all night. All right. Here's a fun one. Adolf Hitler's $42 million Luger at center of sensational court battle. I believe it's being called the most valuable gun in history. Is it the gun he used to kill himself, Shannon?
No. It was just one that was removed from him.
Okay.
From his bodyguard. This is a picture of the guy who used to own it holding it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Yeah.
That clocks.
Yeah. That glocks. Yeah.
And so what's the deal with the story, Shannon?
So this Argentinian guy who had it in his possession for several years, it was given to him from his like great uncle who was German and who worked with Adolf Hitler. And so this guy had his home raided by the police. They claimed that he was like stealing stuff from places. And when they raided his home, they took the gun. And so they never charged him for anything. They never found what they were looking for, but they also never returned the gun. And so now he's suing those police officers and the government for the gun. They claim they can't find it now. They agreed to give him $15,000 towards it, but it's still like an ongoing battle.
This is just like that Briggs and Minifigs Lego shit, but yeah, with Nazi guns.
I mean, I know it's not ideal to have, but that is a fucking crazy fucking conversation piece.
Yeah. Can we see the photo again, please? Of the guy? I love it because he really put a lot of thought into the only face you can have while holding Hitler's gun.
Right, you can't be smiling.
Yeah, you can't smile too much.
You don't know. That's the picture I would think.
It's in between his legs. Yeah.
I fuck around. could not. Come on, dude. It's Hitler's gun. That's hilarious.
That dude looks like a Wendy's manager. Like,
well, the thing is, he definitely also found the least scary part of his house. Because whatever's on the other side of that wall, there's some scary other shit. There's no way he only has the gun.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely got, I mean, but not ever. So some people are collectors. Yeah. And Jim, I believe we have talked about Lemmy had quite an affinity for Nazi knives.
Yeah.
And when you see his apartment, it's a little striking.
knives and you kept them all?
you've seen it.
Yeah,
when you see Lemmy's wall, it's covered in knives with swastikas on them.
Yeah.
But that was his,
was his thing.
I was just watching something where they were talking to him about his manager was screaming at him. He's like, you have one song that makes money. Stop buying these. He was, I worked with him on one of the movies, the Troma movies.
Lemmy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
God bless him. We asked him what he wanted for the movie. There it is.
Bottle of Jack Daniels?
Bottle of Maker's Mark.
Okay, he was drinking that at that point.
Yeah.
If you did an interview with him, he wanted a bottle of Jack Daniels. Like, well, I was on college radio, and he was playing at some club in Jersey, and he's like, bring him a bottle of Jack Daniels to do the interview with you. And he did.
Yeah, he did Bottle of Makers, and we just sent some of the pretty girls on set to go hang out. And he wasn't a creep or anything. I think he just liked having pretty girls around.
Was it ever hard interviewing those guys if you weren't a fan of their music?
Yeah. I mean, most of the, some of the, like, the goofy 80s hair metal, I wasn't really into. I was more into, like, the Anthrax and
But Megadeth, that's the most popular shit.
Yeah, I like that, the harder stuff. So some of the guys from those other hair bands, I didn't really know too much, but, you know, Eddie Trunk, who hosts the show, and Don, they knew, especially Eddie knew those guys and knew more of that, so he'd pick up the slack, and I'd just throw in, like, one question.
Yeah.
But when Lemmy come
Why
in,
do
I
you
go,
exist?
Right. Yeah.
Did you call yourselves poison because you knew you were?
Have you seen, God, Shannon, what's the name of the Mayhem? Can you look up the, have you seen the Mayhem movie? The no. band?
Oh,
the,
they did a documentary on
no,
it?
No, no, no. It's a feature with Kieran Culkin's in it.
Lord of Chaos?
Thank you. Lords of Chaos.
No.
Excellent. Really, really. I don't know if you know about the band Mayhem.
No.
Their singer blew his brains out with a shotgun. And the guitarist found the body, and instead of calling the cops, ran to the store and bought a disposable camera and took pictures of the body and made it one of their album covers. And then the guitarist wound up bass player killed the new guitarist. And that was how they ended. It was Varg Vikernes.
What? Yeah, what country was this?
Norway, I think, or one of those.
Okay, I remember a comedian used to do a bit about this.
Yeah. And it's a great, great movie. And you want to, the suicide scene in it is long.
Really?
Yeah, because he tries
Fatty
to
slit his... keeps riding that bus.
Yeah, he keeps slitting his, he slits his wrists and he gets impatient. But it's just like long. But yeah, they were, the singer of Mayhem used to keep a dead crow in a jar and he would inhale it before performing so that he had death in his lungs. And they would take all their stage clothes and bury them in the woods for a month. And on the day of the show, unbury them and put them on.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They
That's
were fucking
hardcore.
They were fucking scared. That's, I want to say it's Norwegian death metal.
Probably, yeah.
And those guys were, and you find out they're all fucking rich. Like in the movie, there they are portrayed as shitty rich kids with nothing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the people like used to bring like a pig's head and throw it into the crowd and stuff. Oh, fucking, ugh. What a time. The guy that made that is making a G.G. Allen movie now, which I am pumped on.
Really. I love the G.G. Allen stuff.
Oh, dude, that is my... I have a picture of G.G. in his coffin that a fan bought me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from G.G.'s brother signed. It's him. It's straight up. It's one of the, like, digital camera pictures they took at the funeral.
Wow.
And they did not clean him. He's in the casket in his jockstrap and leather jacket.
Dude, I roasted someone a few months ago at their funeral. There's a comedian in L.A., Alex Duong, who was a roast battle guy, and his final request was to have a roast at his funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
Open casket. It's like less than 10 feet away, wife and five-year-old in the front. It was unique. It was so interesting because, you know, he was a Comedy Store door guy. So like 60 people from the Comedy Store all showed up in the Comedy Store shirts like it's Arlington Cemetery and he's a soldier. It was the weirdest. And then everyone else is like in funeral attire. It's Hollywood Forever. It's, you know, a proper cemetery. And no, it was odd. It was one of those things like It went, you know, it's like I was like, I think that went well for what it is, but.
Did you get any laughs?
Yeah.
And then how long did you have to do?
I did like 7 minutes.
And was the widow laughing?
I think at times, yeah.
And then the guy's family and stuff? Like I could see the comics and the people.
Yeah,
like,
but what was funny was like the guy was Vietnamese, so like there were people doing like dog eating jokes and all this kind of shit, and they were not always laughing.
Oh, so it wasn't just you, there was other people.
Yeah,
too.
There was other people, yeah. There was like all these people from, you know, the roast battle, his friends. And I remember my closer was like, I'm going to read a traditional Vietnamese poem. And I just go, oh, me in mourning. Oh, me in mourning. Me miss you long time. And it was so weird of like, you know, I could immediately feel the people who hated that and the people who loved it. It was so bizarre.
That is a fucking, that's a tough.
That's when we were writing the roast.
Did anybody bomb?
Yes.
Did you get paid?
No.
I've told it before on here. I've seen a good couple funeral bombs where the person's I saw somebody get the hook at a funeral where he was too drunk and the person whose funeral it was, his sister pulled him off, had to take the microphone out of his hand.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
I'll say this: they did after because I went last in the proper lineup, but then they did say if anyone wants to say something, you know, that's that there were a few bombs at that point, of people who like weren't booked, but like you know, they feel the energy of a comedy show, and they still were trying, and it was fucking weird. Yeah,
that was I saw a guy that was my buddy, and his ex-girlfriend went up hammered and talked about their S&M relationship
really?
In front of his young nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
and then that last guy, the guy that went up was fucked up, and he's just talking. He's like, yeah, I mean, just years of drugs and fucking whores in bathroom, like,
yeah.
And everyone was horrified.
Yeah. Except you. It was like the movie Happiness. You're like, yeah.
Well, the thing that sucked was all I wanted to do was text my friend. Yeah. And I was like, you got to see how bad everyone's bombing at your funeral, dude. It's a fucking nightmare.
Then when they had the Patrice O'Neill Memorial at some church in the city or whatever, Voss was like hosting it and bringing people up. And like 2 minutes, he goes, I just want to say before we start, after the service, I'll be out front of the church selling my CDs. That's how he opened it.
Yeah.
That's very.
And then the second biggest laugh was him saying the word condolences.
That is very, very funny. All right. We'll do one or two more things before we get out of here. Here's a fun one. Man arrested after dressing like the Grim Reaper on the roof of a hospital.
Yeah.
Funny prank.
That'll be 10 seconds, bro.
No problem, dude. Take your time. Bring it up. We have more than enough time left. Don't worry about it. Sorry about the delays today, gentlemen.
That's fine.
A little bit of technical difficulties in the booth. But hey, shit happens and we roll with it. How we doing? There we go. That's hilarious.
That is.
A 26-year-old man pleaded guilty after climbing onto the roof of a hospital in North Wales while dressed in a black hooded costume resembling the Grim Reaper, alarming patients, visitors, and staff. He stood on the roof for 50 minutes in June while carrying what appeared to be a scythe and looking down toward people below. He later admitted to causing a nuisance or disturbance on National Health Service property without a reasonable excuse and refusing to leave when directed by police. He was fined £200 in order to pay compensation and court costs. They said the costume was intended to resemble a bird rather than the Grim Reaper, which makes no sense because of the scythe. Oh, come on. It's just fucking. That's a fucking.
Yeah.
I would rather just be in people's window.
It's weird to do that and then not own it. You know what I mean? Like, well, what I was actually trying to do, it's like, yeah, you were the Grim Reaper in a hospital.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean.
It's fun.
If you could be, you got to pop up and out, though. You can't just stand there. You got to do like a minute and then go. So then when people look back, they're like, oh, he's not there. And then,
I'll take a walk through the hospital.
Yeah, I would go windows.
Windows, yeah.
Damn.
You can get to them, yeah.
And I'm only just, adult hospital, like if.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
If you're going to a kid's
St. Jude's.
St. Jude's.
Dude, the incubator. You stand in the incubator room counting.
But right after the doctor's like, I think everything's going to be fine. Oh, no. you should even have, like, Blue Oyster Cult plague.
Oh, there's a great, I would love to add this to that. If you're going to fuck with people, if you ever want to fuck with somebody, I have a friend, Abraham, who's an actor, and he had a play in a short film, a creepy uncle who the kid was having nightmares about. And he did not tell the kid he had bought this gel that makes your hands super cold. And he walked up behind the kid in the take and just touched his neck, and it was like freezing hands. And in the movie, you see the kid freak.
Oh, yeah?
It's so fucking good. I did that in one of our movies. The girl I was doing the scene with was very vegetarian, like militantly vegetarian. And it was supposed to be that I hit on her and she's disgusted by me, things I do in movies. So I took Arby's roast beef and stuffed it in my fingernails. And I kept trying to touch her face the whole scene. And I just got, I literally like.
Is that the fattest thing you've ever done?
Not even close. That's not the fattest thing I've done with Arby's.
Did she know that?
No, I didn't tell her.
She didn't.
Until the scene started.
Did you eat it out of the fingernails?
No.
All right.
But yeah, I stuffed it really deep into my fingernails. And every time I would just go, but you're so pretty. And I was just trying to rub meat on her. She hated me for a day.
But
then she was like, you know what? I got a really good reaction out of me.
Right.
I like, you notice, like, Zach keeps telling these stories where, like, he's clearly the asshole, and there's no turn or twist other than him being an asshole.
Yeah.
So then I was just mean to Yakov Smirnoff, and we're supposed to be like, yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck that girl for wanting to not eat meat.
Well, she's my very, very good friend now.
Yeah.
She got it. She was, she's the girl from Terrifier.
Okay.
The girl that gets cut in half in Terrifier.
Right. Yeah.
That's my friend Katie. She sat next to my mom at my wedding. And then everyone went home and watched Terrifier.
Nice.
All right. We'll do one or two more things and get out of here.
Can't imagine the vegetarian options at the Amico wedding.
yeah, what'd you have for her?
We had Bear Burger and veggie patty was, a Beyond Burger was on the invitation.
Nice.
The way my wedding was, we had Bear Burger cater it, and on the invitation, you put yes, and then you picked what kind of, you wanted, a hamburger, turkey burger, or Beyond Burger.
I think it's gonna be like it was in my fingernails, and
yeah, no, we had options for everything. Yeah. By the way, great call,
yeah,
Bear Burger for the wedding.
Oh yeah, yeah,
dude, it was $10,000 less than anywhere else that quoted us.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And they brought the people. They set it up. They cooked it there. And no one was pissed because we had an open bar. And then Bear Burger shows up.
Yeah, that's all that matters, too.
Everybody was fucking pumped.
I went to a rich person's wedding one time, and they don't eat in front of each other. So everyone, it was so funny. We went afterwards, like, to a diner that was packed the fuck out with all people from the wedding because everyone was starving all night.
Oh, yeah, I hate.
Yeah, yeah.
Fancy, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I feel so out of place to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just such garbage.
Beautiful garbage.
Thank you, but I'm just like, what?
And it's easier for just a buffet at a wedding instead of the four courses that are coming out, the salad, all that shit. Just let everyone line up, let them get their food wherever the fuck they want, and that's it.
But Zach, also, we're the kind of people that if we see a woman wearing, like, nice jewelry, we're waiting for someone to throw a pie in her face.
Yes, 100%.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And then on the way out, we had a candy bar buffet where people could fill up a goodie bag.
Oh,
and then our
awesome.
Favor was a shot of Fireball and a can of cream soda.
My brother's wedding, I was the best man. And, you have to give him the ring at some point. And I pulled out of my suit pocket a glass stink bomb, and I handed it to him on the altar at a Catholic church. His wife was so fucking mad because everybody was laughing. And I held it up like this so everybody saw what it was. And then I pulled out the ring, but furious that I did that.
I have to ask, are they together still?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You definitely would have been blamed if there was a divorce.
Oh, I know. And then I was the best man, so I gave the speech at the wedding, and I just ripped my brother apart.
Yeah.
And I forget what I said, but somehow the videographer sent that tape to some other couple by mistake. And this couple saw it, and they would have people come over and watch it. Like, look what this guy's doing. He's just roasted his brother at the wedding. Then they found out I was a comic. They went up coming to see me at one point. Like, we got your brother's videotape mixed up.
That's great. I did a little. My best friend Allie got married last year, and she asked me to read a poem during it. During the service. So I came up with the note card, and I go, this is a poem Allie selected. There once was a man from Nantucket. I'm so sorry, wrong poem. And I took out another piece of paper. Dude, it fucking killed.
It did, yeah.
Every old giddy in this fucking place all night came up to me.
Right.
They're like, yeah, you're the guy. Right? Yeah. And afterwards, she goes, if you had told me you were going to do a bit at my fucking wedding, I would have beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You're so lucky that went over good. She was like, I would have killed you if you bombed with a bit at my wedding.
I had a friend who his brother gave the best man speech, and it was just verbatim the Al Pacino locker room speech from Any Given Sunday.
Oh, really?
And you can see, and once again, like half the room is like, and the other half like is just fucking, They did not last.
So before we get out of here, Jim, you got a new Terrorizing Telemarketers coming out?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's coming out September 18th. This is volume 8.
What's any highlights you want to tell us about?
It's, you know, just more childish and immature behavior. Two grown men just waiting for the phone to ring. Like Don James would come on my house and we'd just sit there and wait for the phone to ring and just fuck with telemarketers.
I mean, nothing makes me laugh. Like, how many times have the police come over that?
Three.
And what was the drowning the grandpa?
No, they didn't come.
The abortion.
Yeah, the abortion one. They came over. I pretended I was giving my girlfriend a home abortion. I think the vacuum kind of threw the lady for a loop, playing in the background and her screaming my girlfriend at the time.
My favorite is Grandpa drowning in the tub.
Yeah, they didn't come. For some reason, they didn't come with that one.
He's on the phone. And he's, I'm giving my grandpa a bath. And he's like, hold on, let me, yeah, like go get your credit card or something.
Yeah, well, she's trying to give me the information. He keeps talking. I go, hold on, let me, and I stick his head under the water. She's like, what are you doing? I go, yeah, he won't shut up. I want to hear what you're saying. Just keep going. You hear, and then he dies. And I'm like, what should I do? She's like, well, get him out of the water. I go, call 911. I go, what was that? What was the program you're trying to sell me again? And she goes right back into her pitch as he's laying there dead.
You want to talk film going experiences? Seeing the Jerky Boys movie.
Oof.
Yeah. Where they, Alan Arkin is in it. And the whole thing is like they're doing the prank phone calls, but they're just two professional actors, which, so all the humor is not.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's like, those guys, you know, you're in stand-up, you have like some charisma. It's like those guys were just phone guys and they're like, we're gonna make these into movie stars, and they are not.
I will say the one guy from Jerky Boys is the police chief in the Insane Clown Posse movie Big Money Hustlers.
Yeah. Kamal
is excellent. Yeah, no, the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He is excellent. Very, very funny.
That guy does a lot of Family Guy stuff, right?
Yeah. Fuck, I had one more thing I wanted to.
It's just amazing that they broke up. Like, two guys couldn't get along. They don't have to be in the same house.
Yeah.
They could have done it on three-way.
Yeah.
But you can't put another, you broke up.
Yeah.
Like, can you get back together just to make prank calls?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you don't have too to much talk tension. To the real guy.
Yeah, right. you're not recording, you know, the White Album. Like, you're not, it's not rumors. You're not in a fucking studio for months on end.
You don't even have to be in the same house. You just call on three-way when it comes in. You click them in and then you fuck with them.
They should have like a documentary called like Some Kind of Phone Call where they go into like therapy and have to record. Right.
When I was a telemarketer, every once in a while somebody would pull some shit. And my favorite one ever, I called somebody and they pick up. I go, hi, this is Zach, whatever. And they go, somebody just goes, there's blood everywhere, and hung up on me. And it scared the shit out of me for a day.
That's a good one.
And it was business to business mostly. So I would have to ask for like a manager. And I fucked up massively because I called a carpet store that I did not realize was like a Middle Eastern store. And the guy's name was Camille. And it was a little early in the morning. I hadn't had my coffee yet. And I accidentally called him Camel. And the fucking bashing I got.
He's like, if I had my coffee, I would have purposely called him.
I got, how dare you call him Camel? There are no camels here. You racist piece of shit. All it made me want to do is call back and be like, I think I left a camel there. All right, guys, that is going to be today's show. Thank you so much. Yeah. Check out Nerd of Mouth. Check out Everybody is Awful, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Goodbye.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop the bagel, jug it down.